Yes, I see somebody talking about Vin Jaja. I don't know how to say her name. She has a strange, don't want to be incorrect here, but that is true. Elon Musk has walked in.
Yeah, so we're going to start today by talking about Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter. And the best part about this is the statement that he put out today. Can I read this?
Yeah, read it.
Hold on, let me read Elon's statement to you guys today. Because Elon says that he is buying Twitter not for him, but for humanity. All right, so Elon's open letter reads, I wanted to reach out personally to share my motivation in acquiring Twitter. There has been much speculation about why I bought Twitter and what I think about advertising. Most of it has been wrong. The reason I acquired Twitter is because it is important to the future of civilization to have a common digital town square where a wide range of beliefs can be debated in a healthy manner without resorting to violence. There is currently great danger that social media will splinter into far right-wing and far left-wing echo chambers that generate more hate and divide our society further. In the relentless pursuit of clicks, much of traditional media has fueled and catered to the polarized extremes as they believe that is what brings in the money. But in doing so, the opportunity for dialogue is lost. I'm down with the cyborg right now.
With
the cyborg. Cyborg Elon.
What is that? What does that mean? What is a cyborg?
That he's not actually human. He's like a robot of sorts.
I posed the question yesterday on my Instagram asking the ladies if they would contribute to repopulate planet Earth with Elon Musk as everybody's baby daddy. I would personally do it. I would personally be one of his 10 wives. No problem. I don't care. I just want Elon Musk to be the father of my kids. Probably very, very high IQ, and not just the high IQ, but then you get to be taken care of for the rest of your life because you're marrying a billionaire. So that is my proposition to Elon Musk, that I would gladly be a womb if he wants to carry a Colombian / what is he, South African child. I'm very excited about
don't
that.
Don't you feel
so if you're like, watching this, I want to be one of your wives. Thank you. Sister wives. I don't care.
Don't you feel like it's almost proper, though? Like, he already had a baby with Grimes and she's a communist. So it would only make sense that if he's really trying to bring balance into society, right, then he'd have a far right baby.
He has a transgender daughter. And I just picked up a tweet from one of these crazy and insane trans activists on Twitter, Aaron Reed at Aaron in the Moon, also very unattractive wannabe woman. She says, remember the time when a billionaire was so pissed off at trans people that he bought a social media network? ? Laugh out loud. Everyone knows Elon Musk is doing this because we trans his daughter, took his wife, and banned his favorite transphobic accounts. They're not going to be laughing tomorrow once all of us are back on Twitter and we misgender them and become the biggest trolls on Twitter again. I'm telling you right now, if our enemies are watching, it's over once we're back on Twitter. You're not going to be able to have the narrative. We're going to troll you every single day. If you block us, we don't care. We're going to go through other accounts, screenshot your shit, and then go back and troll you again. We're going to deplatform Antifa for a fact, because Elon Musk, daddy Elon Musk, he said that he doesn't want far left and he doesn't want far right. So if the Proud Boys are not allowed to be on Twitter, you're not allowed to be on Twitter. And we're going to make that case, and all of the Antifa accounts are going to be bye-bye.
Going to make sure that everything gets taken down. Can you imagine? They don't even know. You know, you just said they're not going to be able to control the narrative anymore. And really, truly, the sad part is that they don't control the narrative. Despite being able to censor us across every major platform, despite the millions of dollars that they pump into their misinformation campaigns and the projection that they do on us and our content, they still cannot control the narrative. Not in Florida, not in Miami, not anywhere in the country. And they're losing grip of it. And I think that Elon buying, you know, once the purchase is finalized, it's almost like the start of a new era.
Yeah.
Like, the perfect accessory to our villain era that we've stepped into.
The lady that they just fired, the head of legal policy, I think her name is Vin Jaja, right? Can somebody help me out with this name? Whatever, she is a total cunt is what she is. It's true. 2 years ago or 3 years ago, that she had a she was in Joe Rogan with Tim Pool. No, actually, what happened was this. Joe Rogan had, what was the bearded guy's name? Jack Dorsey. Joe Rogan had Jack Dorsey and Vinjaja on his podcast talking about why Alex Jones was banned and every other person that was banned thereafter. And the entire 2 hour episode, Joe Rogan barely pressed them on any issues. And so people reacted very negatively to that episode, saying that the reason why Joe Rogan wasn't actually pressing Jack Dorsey on these issues was because PayPal or Cash App, sorry, Twitter and Cash App are, I think, are owned by the same people. That because Cash App sponsors Rogan, he wasn't pressing them hard on these issues because he's a sponsor. So then Rogan said, okay, we'll bring back Dorsey. We'll bring back the head of legal policy, the lady that just got fired. And we're also going to bring in Tim Pool, who's an outsider, not related to the podcast. And that way he'll be able to press on these issues about Alex Jones and everybody that was banned. That was in 2018 or 2019. These people come on board. They go to the podcast. And it was literally 2.5 hours of her saying context matters, right? So she's explaining why people have been banned, including Alex Jones. And all she could say was context matters, context matters. And it's just like, it was like a diagram. They actually made a meme about it of a person said this, well, context matters. Tim Pool goes and says, well, look at what Antifa's saying. Look at what these people are saying. Look at all these hateful tweets, these threats against conservatives. Context matters. So very biased woman. I one time did an investigation on her on my own, never published it. And she happens to be part of 1,000 different left-wing socialist causes, open border type of stuff, you know, remove ICE. What was the thing that they had one time? Abolish ICE, like one of those people. And the majority of people at Twitter are actually Antifa. That's who they are. They communicate with Antifa. Okay, that's why Antifa is able to survive and thrive on this platform. They're able to organize, they're able to fundraise, they're able to recruit people into their imaginary little bullshit anti-fascist world. And now things are going to change because we have not been able to get these people deplatformed since their friends work for Twitter. Not no more. That's changing.
Yeah, I think that someone in the comments says, I know that Trump said he's not interested in coming back to Twitter, but I think he should. I think that that's an interesting conversation. I do think that he should come back to Twitter. I mean, look, Truth Social is definitely an important place for him to be at, right? And it's a conservative space. But for the most part, it's pretty much just conservative and left-wing trolls that are on there. And, you know, one has to wonder, can we, with an opportunity being given to us to be able to take back the narrative by regaining our platforms within these major social media sites, you know, is his presence imperative as well in these places, right? I mean, part of the reason why he got silenced from Twitter to begin with was because of the power of his voice on these social media platforms.
So even if Trump wants to be, let's say that he does run, which I think everything is pointing at the fact that he wants to get back in the White House, he can do it technically without Twitter or, you know, Instagram and whatnot. But the reality is that Twitter was what helped Trump bypass the mainstream media establishment and talk directly to the people. And Truth Social simply does not have the capacity at this moment. So if Trump really wants to have an effective campaign and be able to utilize a free tool for now, because I do think that Elon Musk talked about memberships on Twitter. I think that's going to be part of his new strategy for Twitter.
Do you think that yeah. I mean, I guess that we're just speculating at this point, but do you think that that could potentially lead to a requirement of identity verification to stop the bots and the anonymous accounts or whatnot? Or do you think that there'll always be maybe that's an argument to be had. Mm-hmm. Is the room for anonymous account something that's required? Should people be, is it a right to have anonymity on the internet, or does it create more of a problematic for debate?
I honestly wouldn't mind if you want to be a journalist. Like, here's my problem with anonymous accounts. My problem is accounts like Miami Anti-Fash, we've talked about it extensively, who have no accountability for their actions, right? They want to hold us accountable. Free speech is not free, or it is free, but there's still accountability. Okay, what about your speech? What about the hatred? What about the vile shit that you say online and you get away with because you are anonymous, right? I don't think these people should be legitimized in the media. Like, they get press, New York Times, Miami New Times, Miami Herald. I don't think that you should be legitimized and be able to get all that clout without being verified, without being some sort of publication that somebody needs to be held accountable for their libel, right?
Yeah.
So if I want to sue them for calling me a Nazi and ruining my reputation, if you want to sue them for trying to get you fired, you should be able to do it.
Yeah.
You should be able to do that. So I wouldn't be opposed to having a real ID. Why do I care if Twitter asks for my ID? Like, what is the big deal? Like, yeah. Conservatives have this, like, weird thing with, like, getting their stuff, their data taken away. Bro, they already have your data. Like, they have your social security. They have your passport. They have your ID. Like, they have your voter's registration. What exactly could happen if Elon Musk or his team wants to verify people via ID?
That they are, in fact, a real person.
I don't get it.
Just a quick moment and give a shout out to Adam, who is still at work, but made the time to make a contribution for us so we never have to depend on the lizard people. Thank you, Adam, for showing your support. Mm-hmm. He says, stuck at work, so I'll join late, but I have to make sure I get my monies in. Very happy to support, as always. Thank you so much for the love and support,
Thank
guys.
Thank you, Adam. Really, you're the best.
A long way, because we really are completely self-funded.
So people don't understand, like, we want to do this nice. You guys can see, but we got our boy Angel, who's our everything. He's our everything guy.
He's our everything editor. Guy. He's
our director.
Sound guy, our lighting guy, our camera guy, our producer.
So just so you know, because some people are like, there's always like, oh, you're a grifter, why do you guys ask for money? Which we really don't ask for money. We appreciate it. It's obviously free. But every single time we do come into the studio, we pay Angel a money to be able to rent the studio, to have him here at 9 o'clock at night. So there are costs involved in making this podcast for the people. So again, that's why we appreciate anything that you
Omar
guys can
just support called
us
him
with.
The Giga Chad everything guy, and that is accurate. He's laughing. We got to laugh out of Angel.
That
guys.
Is actually accurate.
Dude, I'm just stoked. I'm stoked because I know it's only a matter of time before they reinstate our accounts, and I just feel like it's going to be a whole break, the meltdown.
Absolutely. I was before my phone died earlier today. The reason why my phone died was because I was inside of Twitter in my old account, my Wake Up with Linda account, trying to get reinstated again, trying to write to them and telling them, hey, now that dad's in the house, you gotta give me back and then my phone
account.
Died, so I wasn't able to actually submit my
best
appeal.
Part is I was never actually banned from Twitter. I never received any kind of notice that said that I got banned. I just got in one day and my account was no longer there. So it's always interesting to see how they operate. But it's going to be very interesting to see the local communist cringe when we see us back on. So who's the roly-poly-oly?
Really, really quick. They said, right, start another account. So yeah, we can start another account. The problem with Twitter is that when you were permanently suspended, like we were, right, mine was a permanent ban, they track your IP address. So if you try to circumvent that ban, they would actually get you through your phone number and your IP address. And then you got to deal with the haters. If the haters found out that you were back in there in an anonymous account or account with another name, what they did was report your account to Twitter saying that you were circumventing the ban. You see? So, because we've been there, we've gotten other accounts shut down as well because the haters found out and then they reported our account. So, do you see how, like,
Jonathan says, y'all got Kanye Wested? Listen, we invented the Kanye Wested. All right. Yeah. Like, we've been fans since
Absolutely.
Before Kanye West was.
Absolutely.
I just think there's going to be, I just wonder what I was telling you yesterday, which is it going to be in waves? Like, are they going to let in the flat earthers first and then, like, the anti vaxxers and then, like, the election deniers? Like, who's where's the hierarchy of people? Are they just gonna press like one button and let all of us back in at the same time? I'm very curious to see. Like I said, my priority is, you know, they've had the Proud Boys banned for such a long time, and I really hope that it starts off with the banning of Antifa. That's what I want to see. If Elon is really about anti-hate and not allowing any of the extreme groups to be there, then a group like Antifa, which, by the way, let's talk about our local Antifa page for a second. What was it, last week that there was an attack of one of Marco Rubio's...
Yes, so you guys saw the attack on Marco Rubio's staffer. Apparently, he was in Hialeah canvassing, knocking on doors. And then all of a sudden, he got beat up by like four people or something like that, sent to the hospital. His name is Christopher Monzon, right?
Monzon, mm-hmm.
And the story is that he got into an altercation with like one of the neighbors, and the neighbors was like, this is my neighborhood, you're not allowed to do this here. They say it's politically motivated. Now they're saying it's not politically motivated. But,
well, one of the guys that they arrested, the second guy that was arrested last night, said that it was politically motivated.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah, he said that it was politically
motivated. The brown guy?
Uh-huh.
What did he say?
He said that he had attacked him basically because he had identified as a Republican.
Right. And mm-hmm. So also the problem with that is that apparently Christopher, we don't really know who he is, but according to this Antifa page, this guy participated in the Unite the Rally 2017 mm-hmm. White supremacist Charlottesville, event that ended up turning deadly. Somebody ran into the crowd. And so he was carrying a Confederate flag. So, you know, they talk about him being a white supremacist and a Nazi and all these things. And they have been constantly driving this narrative about this person. And so what happens is that now you're seeing consequences in real life of this narrative that is created online. You know,
and where they've justified the violence,
and they justify,
because
and
there, there hasn't been any condemnation at all about the behavior. If you're going to report the entire story where it's like, all right, well, let's say that this guy, Chris, who we don't know, wasn't a great right. guy, which isn't the argument. He got violently beaten while he was out canvassing for right. a candidate, as he's wearing a candidate, you know, a shirt and representing that. They've put their entire effort into discrediting it as if though, well, he had it coming
right.
and therefore the attack is justified, and which is, again, promoting the violence that we've talked about. This is the same group of people that, you know, promoted Caleb Freestone at school board meetings with his face covered and his eyebrows shaved so that you couldn't recognize him, doxing, writing down the names of parents so that they could dox them later on this Antifa page. And we've seen that there's been violence that has come out of Caleb's involvement in the community, not just at school board meetings, but whether it was the Family Planning Center at the Heartbeat of Miami or a couple of other series of events that have come up. You know, it's interesting that they're not going to. Well, it's not interesting. It's very descriptive of who they are. They are promoting the violence. They want the violence to escalate because they don't have the narrative. So the yeah. only thing they can hope for is that if they get enough communists to show up at a school board meeting, they might overpower people and scare people into not showing up. Right. That's not going to happen. It hasn't happened in the last 2 years. Yeah,
but
you're not about to get a
but
break
they're
now.
The ones that drive all the hated narrative. And you know what's so funny? Even though we're so sick and tired of talking to Kanye West, one of the biggest arguments to cancel Kanye, deplatform him and ruin his life, his legacy, and everything surrounding Kanye is that this type of narrative and anti-Semitism leads to genocide. It leads to the persecution of Jewish people and whatnot, right? Okay, fair, right? In fact, the Holocaust Museum of LA that invited Kanye to go tour their facilities and re-educate himself on the Holocaust, they had to say that words matter. Right. That was part of their statement. I read it. It said words matter because words lead to genocide, which in a way it's saying there's no free speech because certain speech is going to lead to genocide. Fair. It is what it is. That's the world that we live in. How come that speech, right, which we know leads to genocide, isn't allowed, but this other speech, which is clearly leading to attacks, right? I'm not comparing it. I don't want people to cancel me and say, well, she's comparing the Holocaust. That's not what I'm doing. This is not a comparison to the Holocaust or anything like that. But what I'm trying to say is, if you know that a certain type of speech led to this event, which caused the death of 6 million Jews back in the day, what makes you believe that it's not going to cause violence and hatred towards people and manifesting that into real life?
Because I think that's just the thing. We've seen it. They know that it will manifest into violence towards mm-hmm. conservatives. They just don't care. They're okay with that. These are the same people that we saw burn down the country during the summer of 2020 with the BLM riots. Right. So these people have already proven that they believe that that violence is justified in it as a means to an end.
It's part as long of as their they get agenda.
The outcome, and you know it's always to their advantage, particularly when you're days away from an election. But an election that they already know that they've lost. There's not going to be any wins for them come you know next week when it comes to the elections.
Yeah. Somebody said Kanye West is getting Michael Jackson. That is absolutely correct, Anthony Enriquez. Thank you so much for saying that. That's what I tried explaining to somebody today down my DM, or they weren't arguing. They were just asking me a question, and I said, you know, it's interesting how we dismiss all these other black artists that have tried to tell us the same thing, different words, maybe different methods, maybe not as crazy as Kanye, but they've tried to tell us some of the things that happen within the hip hop community, which Bella talked about with somebody like Lior Cohen. And Michael Jackson was one of those guys. For people that don't know this, if you go and read the lyrics of They Don't Care About Us,
we probably shouldn't repeat them, but
we're not going to repeat those words, but you can go Google these lyrics on your own. And you'll see that he has some anti-Semitism in those lyrics. The ADL also tried to cancel Kanye West. The ADL has canceled Nick Cannon. He apologized, so he's okay. They canceled Lupe Fiasco.
Yeah, they're naming them here Ice Cube, Prince.
Mos Def. Right.
There's been a series. Anybody that's ever made, who was the other guy that we were talking about from Rockefeller?
Dame Dash. Right.
They ruined Dame Dash's career. Lior Cohen ruined his career.
Bella taught me about Lior Cohen. I had no idea who this man was.
Yeah, if you guys are unaware, it's definitely a search worth looking into. His name is Lior Cohen, Lyor Cohen. And Lior Cohen is basically the mastermind behind hip-hop music, if you will. The problem with Lior is that he is behind discovering some of the godfathers, if you will, of hip-hop music and being really at the forefront of turning it into a major segment in music. The problem, however, is that he also had control over hip-hop and rap. And Lior Cohen has been accused by several rappers of influencing hip-hop specifically to target, to glorify drug use,
killing,
prison,
raping,
crime. Lior Cohen is behind this, and any rapper that has ever spoken out about how this man, who they identify as a Jewish man, because he's not a black man, so it's the identification isn't so much of labeling him as a Jewish man as right. much as to make the distinction that it's like we have somebody that isn't black like us
right.
using our culture to imprison other black men, mm-hmm. to ruin our culture. And that's something that's every single time that it's been said over the last two or three decades, those artists get canceled. We never heard about Lupe Fiasco again.
No, I you know, what's crazy is that I was driving down from Delray with my friend on Friday night, and I said, because a Lupe Fiasco song came on the playlist, the Touch the Sky with Kanye, and I'm like, you know what's crazy? Like, we never heard about Lupe Fiasco anymore. Like, he was so talented. Remember that song, mm-hmm. I Went to Sleep Beneath the Flowers for a couple mm-hmm. of hours? Like, really good song. And
he had a great vibe. Like, his music had a great vibe. And people wanted to hear his music again.
Dude, I go online and I just literally put, like, Lupe Fiasco anti-Semitism. Bam.
Anywhere.
There it was. Lupe Fiasco went at it with the ADL, with the president of the ADL. And so after that, his career was held
ransom.
Right.
There's a very famous footage of Lior Cohen that he steps outside whatever studio it is that he works for, whatever record label it is, and he comes out there with a giant boombox and he starts getting people to scream, Lupe, Lupe. Everybody's uh-huh. screaming for the record. And he's almost being like giddy about how the fact that he's like, I'm holding back the record. Like, oh, you want mm-hmm. the record? You're not going to get the record. He held that record hostage. They ruined his career. And Kanye's just a big enough force where, you know, he's leading what he's doing right now is groundbreaking in the sense, not because he's the first person to call out the fact, which again, I go back to, I think the distinction of calling them Jews isn't so much to make a distinction about the Jewish people as an ethnicity or as a religion, as much as it is to make the distinction that the people that are in control of Black culture and Black music are not Black people.
So in the you guys can go on YouTube tomorrow or tonight, whenever you want, and you can search Lior Cohen in the Breakfast Club with Charlamagne, and I forgot his other hosts. And there's one clip in particular that they talk about lean, and they talk about the lean culture. And he says himself, he says, you know, lean is, it's so dangerous. It's almost more dangerous. I think it compared to the heroin. Or
it's almost taken
drug.
Little Wayne from us several times.
From us. See,
they're taking Wheezy from us. They're trying to take Wheezy from us with the lean, sis.
And he himself, you know, Lior says, you know, this is such a terrible habit that leads to death and whatnot. And so Charlamagne goes, well, you're saying this, but then you also promote it and you hire these artists that talk about it and rap about it. So, like, don't you think that Dame Dash was right about what he said about you, and you are a culture vulture? I guess that's what he's been labeled as, a culture vulture. And he says he kind of like stumbles and just doesn't know what to say because he got cornered. And he said, well, you know, I'm here to like feed mouths. Like I gotta like sell records, and this is what sells, and it just is what it is. Like, it's not personal, it's business. Proving Kanye right, obviously, about
there's the
this,
other interview that I sent to you. If you
terrible
guys
culture.
Look up an interview by Crazy Bone, and the interview is called the Secret Meeting That Changed Hip Hop. Where basically they talk about a meeting that took place in the early 90s with all of the top record label producers. I would imagine that a lot of, you know, what we know, whether it's like Rockefeller, Def Row, a lot of these like early really powerful record labels that really put hip hop at the forefront of like all music around that time, and how there was a meeting between these high level executives at these record labels where there was an agreement with the private prison system to lean hip hop music towards this terrible culture of glorifying crime and drugs and all these things that were detrimental to Black culture, but that it was a deal made, a backdoor deal made between the record labels, the artists, and the private prison system. And, you know, I think it's when you have several artists coming out and speaking out about it, you've got these historical things that have happened to prove that it's like, yeah, I mean,
Ben Shapiro should talk about it, because little Ben Shapiro, Mr. Napoleon Syndrome, dude, he loves to talk about Black culture, and he'll go in colleges and shit on the Black culture and Black people this, Black people that. But he doesn't want to talk about the people in power because for obvious reasons that we can't mention. So I think that Ben Shapiro is one of the most hypocritical people in the conservative movement. I found out this week through a Kanye interview that he was canceled, that Ben Shapiro canceled him from the Daily Wire, which is ironic because if I am a Jewish person and I feel attacked by somebody like Kanye West, I would want to speak to him publicly and try to teach him about, you know, how dangerous this narrative is and how this leads to the Holocaust, genocide, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, we all know Ben Shapiro is a big hypocrite. Let's not forget that Ben Shapiro also didn't like Trump. He was a huge anti-Trumper. Ben Shapiro was also clowning everybody during the 2020, asking people to get the certain juice that we were trying to, you know, we can't also say it on this platform. Everything is just a code word. But Ben Shapiro, I think, is having a very tough time right now with Candace Owens, who is also uncontrollable. Candace Owens today posted a really cryptic story where there's that video of fuck around and find out, right? This is the amount of fuck around that you have to do to find out. And then her caption was, trying to manage Candace Owens, you know, like this is kind of like the vibe. And I can just totally see how there's probably like this crazy conflict. I've been telling Bella about it. I can energetically feel the anger coming from both sides. From Ben Shapiro, that he can't control this black woman that would not apologize to the mob and do what they want her to do, which is denounce Kanye West.
Shout out to Panthers fan for his contribution to the channel. I really appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Or ma'am, I didn't mean to misgender you. I'm not entirely sure.
Panther fan, it could be a they, them. We don't know that. Somebody said Ben Shapiro was all over the vaccine. You know, this week he took it back. And the way that he took back his disgusting tweet during 2020, you know, he called people dopes. He said, go get your vaccine, dopey. Like, fuck you, Ben Shapiro. He's the type of person that's always like, my wife is a doctor. My wife is a doctor. And we vaccinate our kids. It's like, okay, bro, like, well, your wife is not like God. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't care if your wife is a doctor.
Your wife is important to you, dude, not us.
Right. Like, the way he took back his, like, pro-shot stance was like, elected officials lied to us. They lied to us all the time. They lied to us then. They lied to us now. They lied to us 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. What made you think that they weren't going to lie to us during the entire lie that was the scamdemic? So all of a sudden, he's like trying to walk it back. And I saw the clip and I was like, this is so pathetic. You should just say you're lame and cringe, you're gay and cringe, and apologize to people for calling them dopeys that didn't want to take the certain pharmaceutical juice that people were being forced to take.
Mm-hmm. There we are. On to other news. There's been some develops on the True the Vote thing. So Greg Phillips and Catherine Edridge from the
True the Vote. Because I don't think people here understand what that
True is. True the Vote, for those of you that are unaware, is an organization that has been battling the inconsistencies, for lack of a better word here on YouTube, of the 2020 elections. And they are the individuals behind the 2000 Mules documentary that was able to track the mules. A few months ago, we had spoken about it here in the podcast. They had an event called The Pit, and where they invited about 150, 170 different researchers to share some information with them that had they had received through a whistleblower. The information basically proved that poll worker information was being hosted out of a server in China. The weeks leading up after the pit, there was a research group that got together and worked out basically proving that this was in fact true through open source research. Mm-hmm. And that research led to the arrest 2 weeks back of a gentleman by the name of Eugene Yu, who is the owner of a company called Connect. It's an election software that, again, has been traced back to China. Prior to the arrest, this individual filed a lawsuit against Through the Vote, saying that it was inaccurate, for defamation, that it wasn't true. Anyways, he gets arrested, so it was true. But that lawsuit is still going on. And today, the judge overlooking the case actually held them in contempt and said that they are to be arrested on Monday because they refuse to name the whistleblower. Wow. So basically, the same party that spent, I mean, if you remember with the phone call, was it for the phone call for Ukraine that they're like, Adam Schiff was like, we must protect our whistleblowers by any means necessary. If not, our democracy is in danger. So now the same party that spoke out so passionately about the necessity to protect whistleblowers and people that come forward, particularly when we're discussing a matter of national security, now the judge has made the decision that no, it needs to be cured was the word that was used, which is that he either comes up with a name or he doesn't. Which, I mean, I can't even begin to talk about how unfair that is. But, you know, this is research that is definitely leading somewhere, and it's unfortunate. But now we're seeing that this is happening to True the Vote, which is such a testament to all of us and the persecution that we all lead. Because really, they're not doing anything but exposing the fact that there was tampering.
There was discrepancy
when it came to 2020.
Right.
We
want to get kicked out of this platform.
Right, correct. So we have to be careful. Another thing, and I know that election news is big leading up now in the next couple of days, but another thing that happened is another initiative of one of the researchers there was the Operation Dropbox, which is their patriots all over Arizona that are guarding and watching the drop boxes to ensure that there's not mules dropping off several, you know, 100 ballots within these boxes. And actually, an organization by the name of the Women's League, the League of Women Voters, has filed a lawsuit against this organization of Operation Dropbox, claiming that they are intimidating voters. Now, this organization actually has nothing to do with election security, integrity, or anything like that. They're actually a pro-abortion organization. So I think it's weird that this is what it is that they're focused on. But right now, they're trying to stop the physical act of individuals legally. There's all sorts of laws that have been followed, but they are legally watching these drop boxes, which makes you wonder, why don't they want people watching the drop boxes?
Yeah, they made a big deal. I saw a bunch of Antifa and liberals crying about the fact that there was patriots watching over the boxes. They weren't doing anything illegal. They have the right to be there, unless obviously there's some sort of law that prevents them from doing that. They weren't violent. They were just sitting, they're minding their own business,
distance of the boxes.
If Arizona is a carry state, then you can actually conceal carry. You can actually conceal carry just like you could in Florida. But of course, when it comes to so-called democracy, the left doesn't want us to participate in anything. They don't want us to participate in voting. In fact, this week there was some blue check marks. It was actually really funny. They said that MAGA Republicans were going to steal the election by voting. That they, literally, yes, by voting. They said that you know, MAGA Republicans, I guess there's like 300 different Republicans in state legislatures and all across the country. And many of them, probably 75% of them, all believe the 2020 election was compromised or, you know,
there was inconsistencies.
And so there's a lot of articles about it. The Washington Post wrote about it. All these blue check marks are talking about it. And because of that, because of this belief of these people that are running for Congress, that are running for state legislatures, the liberals claim that MAGA is therefore hijacking the process. And so many people were retweeting and responding and saying, hey, doofus, this is actually what we do in a democracy. We vote regardless of what you believe is real or not. We vote and then somebody gets elected. This is a process. Somehow you think that that process by Republicans is illegitimate.
Well, because they can't, I mean, I think that it's clear what's happening, right? They're getting ready to set up the narrative. I always watch Hillary, right? So whatever Hillary Clinton is up to, I always know that that is a foreshadow of whatever their plan is. And Hillary actually recently released a statement where she's saying that the elections are not safe, which is hysterical because we just came out of the safest elections to ever exist in the history of ever. But somehow the midterm elections are now no longer safe, which tells me that they're getting ready to get to jump in front of the narrative that the very obvious red wave that's coming of the pushback that people are going to be giving this election season, which I think so much of it leads back to the children and what's going on at schools and the blatant disregard that they've had for all basic common sense, trying to convince people that it's okay for us to talk to your third grader about, you know, butt sex and, you know, ring jobs and all that other stuff, because that makes total sense. It's going to have a detrimental effect to them. The Gateway Pundit actually has a title over on their website. The article is called It's Over. Democrats pull out of swing state Florida and it's going to be ugly. Basically documenting how people that were contributing to these Democratic candidates are no longer doing so. And so the money that they're bringing in at these very pivotal time is not sufficient, where people have just given up on these Democratic candidates. And I think you can sense it a lot listening to the trolls that, you know, usually criticize us, where they're just like, what's the name of
Mike Rivero?
Mike Rivero crying like doom and gloom. Florida's lost and it's lost because of misinformation. Right. And it's like, shut up, bro. You're trying to sell communists to people that survived communism, and you're trying to convince people that pedophilia is fucking cool.
There is a small group of Cuban Americans who are pro Joe Biden, who are pro Democrats. And there is a group called Cubanos Palante. The founder is this troll. His name is Mike Rivero, and he's constantly crying about women on the internet. Women, lesbian women, Jewish lesbian women like Jamie from Gays Against Groomers, crying about Isabella, crying about me. And it's hilarious because Florida International University, one of our local universities, they conducted a poll, a very recent poll about Latino and how Latinos are influenced in South Florida. Is it the radio? Is it television? Is it social media? And within this poll, they find out that the majority of this Latino population is actually influenced by 50% by people like ourselves, by social media influencers and social media personalities like Otaola, who's a gay Spanish, influencer. And they're so pissed about it. They're so mad about it. And Mike Rivera's response to this whole thing was, well, it's because of misinformation. This is their entire narrative. Their narrative is now that their policies suck, that the economy is bad, that the border is open, that there's crime rising all around America. No. It's not what you can see with your eyes. The sky is green. The ocean is red. It's misinformation. That is exactly what the Democrats' narrative is. You can't see things for your own eyes. We are literally watching as people who voted Democrat, like the guy from Young Turks, what's his name? What's the guy's name from the Young Turks? Whatever. He's a huge Democrat. If you guys can Google him. This guy just tweeted out yesterday how LA was a shit show, how LA has crime rising and how people are being let out without bail and whatnot. This is a Democrat voter. He's not just a Democrat. He believes in socialist policies, right? He's believed in criminal justice system reform. All this stuff, and people like himself are complaining about it. You have rappers going on Drink Champs talking about how all these different black rappers have gotten their jewelry stolen. They can't walk around with the bling that they used to walk around Rodeo Drive and whatnot in Los Angeles. You see the homelessness camps, but it's not that, my friend. It is misinformation. And therefore, Mike Rivero from Cubanos Palante wants more censorship for you guys, for ourselves, and for everybody else, because they cannot simply win by their own narrative, but their wins, the policies that Joe Biden has, everything is misinformation. Everything.
Someone called Mike Rivero back Sank. Titties.
Wait, who?
Someone called Mike Rivero back titties. Back titties, Rivero. I'm screaming.
Bro, I hate that guy. He's so annoying. And the worst part about these local communists is that all they cry about is, oh, they're not peaceful. They're so violent. Like look at this, mostly peaceful. They're not actually peaceful. They're actually very violent. First of all, me and Isabella have never been arrested, like the majority of you fucking goons and thugs that, like Thomas Kennedy, who literally laid across the street in downtown Miami so that Haitian immigrants weren't deported, like Karla Marx, who's been arrested for being a goon in Washington, D.C. None of us have been arrested. None of us inside.
Like Jenny Lee Molina and Sonia Diaz that were arrested for theft.
You guys cry about, oh, they're so violent. They're calling for violence and doing this. All because I made a meme of a helicopter and Miami anti-fash falling down a helicopter. All because of a meme.
Wow. All because we were able to flip the school board and get a superintendent out. The meme is just kind of like the little, you know, salt on top of the thing. That the meme isn't really what they're mad about. What they're mad about is that they haven't been able to stop us. You have not been able to stop us. We flipped the school board. We got Carvalho out of here. We got your disgusting books off the shelves. We told you no to your gay month. You cannot win.
Gay month.
And that's what upsets you. So keep on crying about me being a flat earth QAnoner. Keep on crying about Linda being a fascist grifter. We could literally not give less of a fuck, bro.
No, it's not
a
single, just...
As long as we keep winning. Oh, by the way, my favorite one is when you guys literally spend an entire month talking about how we had taken L's during the primary election. You morons. Republicans are going to wipe the floor with you in a couple of days. You do not get wins All you do is take L's. So, and now I'll be sure to remind you about all of your L's as soon as Daddy Elon, the freaking cyborg, lets me back onto Twitter on my account at Red Pill Babe and also exposing MAF. Thank you.
I have to tell you guys, speaking of gays, hold on. Here it is. Today, President Vladimir Putin, who, as we know, we all have to say, Putin is a bad guy, or else we're Russian assets. Everybody knows that I am a Russian spy. But today, President Putin said, losing supremacy, the West is turning into a minority on the world stage. Fact check, true. If Western elites think they can inject trends like gay parades and dozens of genders into their societies, they can do what they want, but they have no right to demand others to do the same. And so apparently today, Mr. Putin and the Russian Federation banned more LGBT propaganda stuff. There's no LGBT propaganda. They're not going to glamorize this alternative lifestyle. And they personally do not care how the West feels about it. But here's the reality of the situation. And we talked about it with Roger yesterday. The world was okay when Donald Trump was president. I don't care how you feel about him now. I don't care if you want DeSantis to be president. The reality is that one of the most underreported people weren't grateful enough is the fact that Trump was one of the best world leaders that we had in terms of foreign policy, right? We can say America first, but the reality is that as a representative of the United States of America, of the strongest economy in the world, I think China's probably the strongest economy in the world now, but nevertheless, as the president of the United States of America, you do have the duty to be a diplomat with other nations, including these dictators like Kim Jong-un, Putin, whatnot. We saw what Trump did in the world stage. Because he's charming, people like him, he's funny, he can talk to the dudes from Saudi Arabia, the Habibis, he can talk to the Chinese, he can talk to the Russians. They don't respect Joe Biden at all. They don't care. They know that he's a usurper. They know that he's weak. They know that the people are certainly not with him, even though they want to give the illusion that they are, but they're not. And so there is no, we may still think that the United States is a superior country, but now that the East is forming their own pack and saying, we're going to stick together between China, India, Russia, what was the other country? South Africa, Afghanistan, and Iran. These countries are all coming in together and saying, no more. We're sick and tired of your games. We're not going to do it anymore. And I just found out that two things have happened, which your favorite influencers haven't told you about, or CNN or the other whatever media account. Two things. China came to help Afghanistan because after the Americans pulled out in a terrible, terrible disaster of a pullout from Afghanistan, they left that country in shambles, and they also took the foreign aid. So there's literally people are starving in Afghanistan. So who came in to help? China. China has sent them millions of dollars worth of aid. So now you have the Afghanistan saying, thank you so much, China. Not only are you sending aid to me, but also you're letting me be our own culture. You're not enforcing your Chinese culture on us like the Americans do. Now, with this whole Iran situation going on, there was also a terrorist attack yesterday in a mosque or in a praying, whatever you want to call it, and no one's reporting on it, because what happens is that all these little Iranian protests that were going on and all of the chaos that you saw, that the Americans were crying, oh my God, like they're just so fed up that it's okay to burn down cars, it's okay to kill police, it's okay to be violent, right? Conservatives like that in other countries, they don't like it when they do it here. Now, they don't remember, because now they're focused on Kanye and the Jews, And the reality is that they're destabilizing.
Haram. What? Somebody wrote Haram.
They're destabilizing Iran, and Iran just had a terrorist attack, I think by ISIS, and 15 people are dead. No one's talking about that. I just found that out yesterday.
Let's give a quick shout out to Adriana Sclefani. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name, Adriana, but she says this one's for Bella, Linda, and MAGA.
Let's go, baby. We're gonna be stronger than ever.
We are gonna be stronger.
We're gonna Somebody be stronger says, than ever.
Until we have a shift from career politicians in republics to more direct democracy, I don't see the centralization of power ending. Actually, you know, it's a good thing that you bring into career politician thing, because mm-hmm. I was actually having this conversation just a few days ago, which is that that's the biggest detriment to our country is the fact that we've allowed politician to be a job description. Politician is a civil service that, realistically speaking, every American should be wanting to make that civic sacrifice to some degree at some moment in their life. One term, two terms most, and then you pass on the baton to the next person that, again, is going to represent we the people. When you allow individuals to make a career, to make a job out of politician, mm-hmm. that's when corruption starts to settle in. That's when the relationships that lead to backdoor deals start coming in. A quick way to solve all of that is you don't allow the Nancy Pelosi's of the world to be in Congress for 60 plus years. When you stop that, then you have a form of controlling corruption in mm-hmm. our Congress. Term limits are essential if we democracy. Ever want to get our country
Fake
back.
Democracy, Correct. Obviously.
Correct. The protection of our republic depends on it.
Speaking, somebody wrote, same-sex marriage should be allowed. Sometimes people are gay, fall in love, and want to spend their lives with somebody as a married couple. That shouldn't be an issue. Well, that is not an issue for us, but it is an issue for a Christian Orthodox country like Russia. And I have to agree with Russia on this one. They can do what they want. We live in the United States. We don't have to worry about that. I don't think there's an immediate threat of anybody wanting to reverse back.
You know what it is
back.
That people don't realize that our separation of church right. and state isn't what's common. You travel anywhere else in the world, and most countries are represented by a predominant religion. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they're allowed to practice other religions isn't what I'm saying. Many of them do. But countries that associate themselves predominantly with one religion, and therefore their legislation process is representative of that religion that represents their country. Unlike us, we're into our we have this separation of church and state written into our constitution. Mm-hmm. That's not the norm. So when people say, well, that's not right, according to who? According to what you consider to be normal. Every other country across the world sets the religion that their country practices and base off their laws and their processes off that very faith-based religion. And once upon a time, America did that too.
Right.
Even with the separation of church and state.
I can't find it, but I was going to rant about what's our boy's name? Richard Green. Richard, what's his name? The gay guy that Trump
Grinnell.
Appointed. Grinnell. I am not a fan of Rick Grinnell. I actually highly, highly dislike him for many reasons, including the fact that he has been elevated to this untouchable status because he is gay, and therefore he thinks that you can't criticize his lifestyle. So Rick Grinnell, I caught him this week, and I wish, I'm trying to look for it, but he has, do you guys know the lady, the black lady that was running against Dr. Oz in the primaries? Kathy something, really, really great girl. And so Kathy is a Christian woman. She does not believe in same-sex marriage, but she's not really advocating against it. It's not part of the policies that she wanted was pitching to the people of Pennsylvania. But Rick Grinnell has a problem with her because of tweets from like 2013 or 2012. She talked about, the only people that should be married are a man and a woman or whatnot and something like that. And Rick Grinnell had the audacity to say that a woman like Kathy should not be allowed to be in office because she holds negative views or thoughts about homosexuals. Mm-hmm. Now, here's my thing, right? Rick Grinnell represents a 5% of the total population. I've said this before, right? They already have many rights under the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
They have all the rights.
Where is it in the Constitution, or where is it written that because you hold a negative opinion of same-sex marriage, you shouldn't be allowed to run for office? Where is that? Where is that written? Where is that? That is my problem with Rick Grenell. I'm a woman, all right? Last week, I told you guys, I don't like same-sex adoptions. I'm not about it. I've never liked it. I don't like surrogacy for straight couples or what is it called? LGBT couples. It doesn't mean that I want a ban. It doesn't mean that if my friend who couldn't get pregnant and wanted to have a surrogate pregnancy, I would look down upon them. It's my belief. I'm not hurting anybody. Yeah. I'm not trying to advocate against gay people getting married. But does that mean I'm not allowed to run for office because a gay person like Rick Grenell believes in that and doesn't want me to run?
You know, and to go off on that, actually, before we go on to that, we want to give a shout out to Maria Jose, who just made a contribution of $20 to the channel. Thank you,
Maria Jose, so much. I appreciate it.
She's drinking her wine and listening to straight facts here. Keep it up, mommies. Ugly kisses. Thank you, Maria. You know, we're just out here drinking and talking and shit. We don't have wine, but, you know, we got some goodies out
Thank
here.
Thank you so much, Maria Jose.
You know, to the argument of some people Rick are Grenell. Gay and they just want to get married, right? Because it goes back to the Rich Grenell conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go back to Christian evangelicals 20, 30 years ago when the conversation around gay rights started making headway, they made the argument very often that it was a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. They're going to want to get married and what comes next. And, you know, the answer from most moderates, including myself, even though I was very young back then, was just to think like, oh, well, what are you guys saying? Or they're going to be asking to what? Like have sex with animals or whatnot? Like, don't be ridiculous. That's not what's happening. Unfortunately, you know, where it is that we're at right now shows that it very much was a slippery slope, because then it was no longer just about can gay people get married. And I want to be very clear. I agree with you. Civic unions should be a thing, because if you spend 30, 40 years with somebody and they end up in a hospital and you are that person's partner, you should be entitled to make decisions just as another partner would in a heterosexual relationship. But that's not the conversation. These people are not just okay. We've gotten to a point, when I say these people, I don't mean gay people. I mean the people who advocate for rights that are outside of the norm. What they're advocating for is no longer just to be recognized from a legal standpoint as a married couple. Now they actually want to know why they can't walk into churches and have their marriage and have their unions recognized by the church. And this is a problem, because you cannot inflict this your lifestyle that's contrary to somebody's faith and belief. Absolutely. And I think that the conversation about do they have the right to get married, I believe that they should have a right to legal civil unions, which allow them the same legal rights of being able to apply for a home loan together, make medical decisions for one another, the same shit that all of us deal with the rights that we have when we get married. But I think that the recognition of marriage, which is faith-based, we don't need to have that argument. People don't need access to everything. The same way that we don't need to make men that want to act like women feel more comfortable with these lifestyles that they've chosen by succumbing to their delusion that they are women. You are not a woman.
You're not.
You are a man that turned into a woman, and okay, you look good, and but you're a great transgender woman, but that's what you are. And this delusion that we exist in, that we need to apply heterosexual terms to apply to gay couples, is not fair to heterosexuals. No, I don't believe that necessarily gay marriage is a word that we should be using. Marriage, as it's stated in the Bible, is a union between man and woman, and that should be respected. Right. Should you have every right? Yes, I'm all for civil unions. But I think that to go back to the argument that was being placed 20, 30 years ago, now it's not sufficient, the civil union. Now they want to talk to your 3-year-olds about gay sex. So there is. And then when you make the argument about, say, for example, the parental rights and education bill, what's the argument that they make? Because all they're saying is you can't talk to kids in the third grade about sex without their parents' approval. Now you have the entire media calling it the don't say gay bill. Meanwhile, the argument that they make is, oh, Mr. Stanley over at the elementary school isn't going to be able to talk to their kids about his partner. Bro, I never had my teachers talk to me about what their partners, their wives, their husbands. I didn't know. It didn't matter. But this is where the slippery slope comes in, that it's not just about accepting the gay marriage civil union things. It's what comes next. And we cannot say that the evangelicals were wrong, because here we are.
Yep. I think that somebody like Rick Grenell needs to have a conversation about him not alienating people like ourselves from the party, because the reality is that there is a cancel culture within the conservative movement, within the Republican Party. They don't like to talk about it because they want to pitch themselves as the patriot, constitutionalist, free speech mafia. They're not. They're hypocrites, and they do it behind closed doors. Like, I'm sure it's happening right now at the Daily Wire. Like, it's happened many times at Turning Point USA events and whatnot. But, you know, if I come out and I say something about Rick Grenell, I guarantee you that he would have me banned from Mar-a-Lago the next day, because that's the way that he operates, which is very unfortunate. Somebody was talking about Islam and Muslims. I saw a headline this week that allegedly, I don't know if it's true, I don't know if it's a troll, but Andrew Tate has converted to Islam. And so Andrew Tate has spent a lot of time in Dubai recently with his brother. And he had like some sort of like academy going on, or world tour, or something like that. And so he's always talked about Islam as the religion of the future. Christians don't like to talk about it. They don't like to admit it. But here's the thing. Islam is something that you can't bend, right? They're not bending for the LGBT. They're not bending for women's rights. They're not bending at all. I'm not advocating for it. I'm just trying to make you guys understand why somebody like Andrew Tate, or men in general, would look to Islam as a more traditional, disciplined religion than Christianity. Because as Andrew Tate explains, Christianity has bent the rules because they feel bad for a gay person, a transgender person, and whatnot. And so he describes it as the religion of the future, and the only religion that's actually going to matter 20, 50 years from now. Obviously, he's not God. We can't say that's for sure. And we have seen many times in history where Christians, Catholics specifically, have come forth and said, no more, we're starting a holy war, and we're going to fight this battle to take back our countries. So it should be interesting to see what's going to happen in the future. What we do see, what happened?
Nothing. I'll finish your statement.
What we do see is people in, you know, Dearborn, Michigan. We talked about those parents last week. I found a parent so hot. Oh my God, this is the hottest Muslim guy I saw this week on Twitter. I started following this Habibi, but he's married with kids, so haram, big haram. And this guy went back on Twitter, and his whole rant that went viral was about not voting for Rashida Tlaib. That's her name. Sorry, almost slipped my mind. Not voting for her, saying that, you know, he doesn't just goes on to say that she has bad policies, and she goes into Islam and why she does not represent Islam, and these progressive values are against their religion. And it's something that I've been trying to tell people for a very long time, although they won't listen. I'm not going to argue for Islam because I'm a Catholic, so why would I do that? But I always try to tell people that Christianity and Islam are more similar than they have led us to believe. Okay, I understand Sharia law, which is not in every single country, and certain cultural norms that they have in countries like Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Iran, are not congruent with our lifestyle in the West. But when it comes to the actual holy books, you'll be surprised how much propaganda we have been fed about Islam and being a
and
very
how much
violent,
similarities exist within the two faiths, starting with the recognition of Jesus Christ, which isn't necessarily recognized as a figure in other faiths.
Right.
and Islam does. Just a quick shout out to Shooter 305 who comes through on every single podcast. You're the best, man. You're the best. Take care of us. Says MAGA forever. Cope and see the leftless.
Absolutely.
Yes. I wanted to make a comment on because somebody wrote. Where is it? I had seen it. It said something about Islam equals based, and then they seem confused. And I think that
I think he's
really
asking.
When we say based, I don't necessarily feel that it's just directly just the Islam as faith as much as their inability to bend.
Right.
They haven't met anybody in the middle. Like, this is our faith. This is, we don't care that you call us oppressors, that you call us, this is our faith. And they haven't moved from their principles or their morals or the things that they believed in when the Torah was first, when the Quran was first written to where it is that it's at right now. Unlike Christians, that, you know, a perfect example would be a lot of the mega churches that during 2020 were doing entire sermons dedicated to apologizing
to
black culture and making
they're
apologies instead of driving in the point that there is no distinction between any of us based off our skin colors. These people use their churches to lead social justice causes, and that's not something that would ever happen in Islam. You know, to go back to your example about these Muslim citizens at the school board that are over there advocating for their kids, and some crazy woman gets up and she's like, it's time for Islam to band together against the far right. And it's like the woman's pushing gay agenda and stuff that she wants, the gay stuff in the books and in the schools. And it's like, dude, I don't care if these people call me a terrorist. I'm not going to teach my kids about gay sex because I'm Muslim. Right. So this idea that you think that we have anything in common, they don't.
Both mainstream Christianity and Judaism are extremely flawed, and I'm gonna say both because we know that there is a lot of Jewish people who are very, very liberal, are okay with abortion, they're okay with gay marriages. In fact, Israel is a huge capital for the gay parade, right? And we're not bashing on anyone's religion, but we do know that things have gotten corrupted with time. Obviously, it's not the same as your Amish or the very Orthodox Christians or the very Orthodox Jewish people who are still holding on to these beliefs or not bending the knee. But it's a very small minority. When we see priests inviting in drag queens to church, I mean, I would lose my mind as a child to see. First of all, I never liked clowns. I was always scared of clowns. And to me, drag queens look like clowns. So I'm still not okay with that look because personally, I was terrorized by clowns when I was younger. I even left my birthday party. I don't know if you know this, but I walked out of my own birthday party. I think I was 7 years old. And I ruined my mom's surprise. I ruined it because I told her I didn't want a birthday party and I didn't want clowns. And she did the opposite. As a true Gemini that I am, I just took a shit on the whole party and just ruined it and walked out. So
at 7 years old, you pulled a Kanye, sis?
I was 7 years old, I pulled a Kanye. But, you know, I do think that if Christians truly understood the Islamic religion, which I don't even understand, I think I know 1-2% about it. But somebody said in the comments, I just found out that Jesus Christ is actually a prophet in the Islam religion. And he is. And he's very well liked. They just don't believe in the part of him
being the Messiah.
The same thing with Virgin Mary. Virgin Mary is the only woman in the Quran to have a chapter in their book. We don't even have a chapter.
The Gospel of Mary isn't considered one of the books within the Bible.
Exactly. And so it's quite interesting the amount of brainwashing from the media against Islam, against Muslims who are great people, who are really, really good people. And many of them who, some of them want to live in their Islamic law, Sharia law countries. I don't care as long as they're not trying to bring it to my country.
I think that the argument just has to be said where it's like Islam is not the enemy of anything. They probably have a lot more in common with the quote unquote far right that the leftist that the left likes to label us as than they ever would with Democrats.
And I saw this TikTok. I didn't post it because I've been kind of just like my head hurts from being on Instagram and like all the fighting going on. But the Westerosis are some of the biggest bullies in the world. The Qatar World Cup is coming up. I'm very excited, by the way. And, Qatar, gay marriage is illegal. They're a very religious country. And you have this Western, two or three different Western reporters kind of, I think they were questioning the president of Qatar or the prime minister, I'm not sure, but one of the heads of states about homosexuality. And it's just, it was so nasty to see them push and push on this issue. Like, are you going to allow gay people? What are you going to do about the gays? Well, gay marriage is not allowed. Like, blah, 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 blah. And the guy was kind of like, why are you pressuring me about this issue? Like, we've been through this. No, you cannot hold hands here in Qatar. No, you cannot kiss a same-sex person in Qatar. No, we don't allow gay marriage, but we're not going to murder them or do anything. You just simply have to respect our culture and values for those 2 or 3 months when the World Cup is playing. Mm-hmm. That's it. Even if a same-sex couple did want to go to Qatar, just don't do any public display of affection. It's just that simple. But of course, we know the Westerosis like to give them a difficult time.
We're getting closer to the end. Let's take the time to answer some questions. So go ahead and drop your questions or your topics in the chat, guys. And let's just have a little powwow, if you will. And this got like 5 drinks. I didn't even bring a water with me.
You guys, I want to know what this is. This is called a Komodo. It has leftist tears written on it. My Kava tender is a huge supporter, and he is a MAGA Republican. And every time I go try to get Kratom and Kratom, he leaves me special little messages like this. Did you watch the debate? Which debate?
She's probably talking about the DeSantis and Chris debate. And I did. I caught most of it. Probably the most infuriating part, which was the topic about gender-affirming care. When the question comes up, Charlie Crist just kind of defaulted to, oh, of course, Ron DeSantis doesn't believe in gender-affirming care because he thinks that he can tell women what to do with their bodies, and then shifted the entire conversation to abortion. Mm. The entire conversation got switched to abortion. I think that one of the most telling moments, or at least the ones that raised the most red flags for me, and I know that we talked about this. By the way, guys, we recorded a podcast yesterday with the legendary and iconic Roger Stone. However, because of YouTube policies, we will not be placing it on this channel, but it will be our debut episode on Rumble, where we would begin streaming live, just as we do here on YouTube every Thursday. But one of the things, and it was a conversation we had with him yesterday, which was that when Ron DeSantis is asked whether he plans to serve out his term to the entirety of the 4 years, he refuses to answer the question, which then opens up the next round of questions, which is Ron DeSantis going to run against Donald Trump in the 2024 primaries?
We're Trump loyalists in this show. I'm a Trump loyalist. I want my buddy to have another 4 years. Yes, I get it. Trump is old. But have you ever been around Trump? I've been around 25-year-olds that have less energy than Donald Trump. Donald Trump swallows the entire energy in a room. As a matter of fact, Megyn Kelly, who hated Trump, as you guys know, and she was a fervent anti-Trump reporter, whatever you want to call it, she had to tell Dave Rubin that there was absolutely no way that Trump or that DeSantis would win the election if it came down to that, or the primary, because Trump supporters, although they do like DeSantis, somebody like myself, they would not support DeSantis over Trump because they feel like Trump is owed that a second term. He is owed a second term. And listen, something that Roger Stone reminded us about is that there would be no DeSantis without Trump. Nobody heard the word DeSantis prior to 2018 because Donald Trump, this guy was losing. He was only polling single digits, not doing well at all. Nobody knew who he was. You have all the media behind the degenerate of Andrew, whatever his, what was his name?
Gillum.
And so it was Donald Trump with one tweet, one single tweet, that let DeSantis up to double digits, two campaigns that he did with him, or two rallies that he did with him. And that is the reason why DeSantis won. If you go right now on YouTube and you Google the first ad that DeSantis did, it was literally a Trump ad, an ad of his kid building the wall, make America great again. And in fact, DeSantis has actually acquired and usurped a lot of Donald Trump's mannerisms.
Well, he is. I mean, I think that the entire thing is that he's taken the America First MAGA textbook and incorporated that at a governmental level, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, we love us some Ron DeSantis. G. Santis is the man, and we love him because of what he's done for parental rights out here in Florida, the way that he's protected us. You know, another thing that has come up is like he did kind of shut us down when the pandemic first started, but
everyone did.
He's done amazing things Trump as governor, so it's not a critique on him in any capacity as a governor. It does alarm me that he would want to run, because I think that as a party, we should all agree that this is a position that's owed to Trump. Right. And to think that you're going to go up against Trump using the Trump playbook just seems funny and odd. And I don't know if it's one of those things where he's just trying to get his name out there so that when he runs in 2028, it's not the first time or what it is. But I do feel like it could create a division in the party that doesn't need to be there. So that does make me uneasy, where I had never been uneasy with Ron DeSantis before. His inability to be able to answer the question about seeing the entire term through did make me uneasy. But I continue to support Ron DeSantis, and I will be voting for him in November, but ain't nobody getting in the way of a Donald Trump presidency in 2024.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Hold on 1 second. What's going on?
Yeah, just got fired.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was the, right before yeah, we got in. Yeah. Our producer is giving us the update. They just got fired from Twitter. Oh, they're clearing the building over at Twitter, guys, and I don't even know how to act. I feel like the hierarchy. When do they let the QAnoners back in? I want to know.
I think that there are no more questions. Somebody asked if we are going to do a show in Spanish. I would love to do a show in Spanish. We may have something in the works for next year, but the reality is that we do need to grow our platform and get more support because we are self-funded. She has a full-time job. I have a full-time job. I'm literally running around crazy all the time. Like, it's very
believe it or not, guys, difficult. We don't just talk shit on the internet all day with you guys.
We have like other stuff.
I have a job, and I have to clean my house and do laundry and all the other same stuff that all you guys have to do too.
So today,
the Spanish thing is difficult, but we do want to create at a minimum, see what we can do about getting our episodes even subtitled in Spanish or something in order to be able to reach the demographic of Spanish speakers that we do want to be able to reach, because we want to give a voice to all Latinos.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, we got to go. I really have to use the bathroom, actually. This was so fun. And we're going to be doing these. We're going to be doing this every single Thursday, 9 o'clock. If we run a little late, we'll let you know.
Oh, but this question is so good. Who's the bigger beta, Mike Rivera or Josh Ceballos?
I'm going to go ahead with Josh Ceballos, because Josh Ceballos is a little vagina face that he won't acknowledge me. Like, I DM him on Twitter. I DM him on Instagram, I tag him, and he just won't even answer to me.
Por lo menos el otro responds.
Mike Rivera responds whenever he gets highly triggered.
For now, he called until us, his PR company tells him not to respond to us
anymore. You don't even know that he called us locas on Sunday when I was arguing with him back and forth. Tuesday.
Oh
yes, when I was going off, when he's crying about misinformation, what are these accounts, or what are these companies going to do to stop the mostly peaceful Latinas from taking over the world? When he was crying about us, I responded back to him and I said, here's the problem, is that you guys are sore losers who cannot win based on your policies and on your narrative, so you want to shut us down. Somebody got into a fight, there was like three of us fighting back and forth, and this guy had the audacity to say, I knew this tweet would take the locas out. Like, I knew the crazies would come out, you two locas, blah blah blah. And I was like, dude, I, like, have you tried being not cringe? Like, just don't be cringe. present a better platform.
Maybe people would want to vote for you.
Maybe people want to vote for you, but you don't. But we are going to log out. And we thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you
again for our support. Please don't forget to subscribe and like our content so more people can see more of us. You can help us grow our channel so that I don't have to work a job and Linda doesn't either. And I don't have to do my own laundry, please. So I can talk more shit with you guys. I don't want to give the laundry part. All right, guys. Thank you. Have a good night and see you all next week, Thursday at 9 p.m.